of John, the Gospel of John. We're going to freestyle for just a second here, Brother Phil. Go to John 8 and verse number 31. God, we're going to talk about freedom today, if you haven't figured that out yet. We're going to talk about freedom, and I'm excited about this verse in John 8 and verse 31 and 32, and this is our text. We're going to be in John 14 in just a second, so hold tight. If you didn't bring a Bible, I'm giving you the opportunity to grab one right out of the pew rack right there in front of you. All right, John is the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John was one of the apostles, the youngest of the apostles. John chapter number 8. Our Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty, freedom, the ability to choose for ourselves. You ought to read the Declaration of Independence. I read it yesterday, and I loved it. I didn't want to read the whole thing. Maybe I will. I may preach a whole mess on it. It's awesome. And of course, you ought to read the Constitution. If you haven't read the Constitution, you'll be the first in this county, probably. But you go ahead. Read it. All right? You ought to read it. You ought to know what it says. It's important. It's kind of like the Bible. You ought to know what it says. Anyway, have I given you enough time to find John 8? Just checking. Okay, John 8 and verse 31. Listen, we'll start in verse 30. Let's read all three of these, 30, 31, and 32. Let's read them as a church family. Here we go. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom, the ability to choose, but freedom is not free. Our ability to make decisions comes with the consequences of those decisions. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and verse 9, if you've not ever seen it, you ought to check this out. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. He's saying, go ahead. Just go ahead. My preacher would say that all the time. Help yourself. That's what he'd say. Go on, do what you think is right. But look at the last part of that phrase. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Freedom is not free. It's not freedom to do as we please. Galatians 5:13, the Bible says, for brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. It's not about I get to go do as I please without consequence. Nor is freedom given to us by God that we might be free of him. It says in 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of God. Take your Bible, go to John 14 now. Jesus wants to tell us how to be free, how to have liberty, to be free. Not free from him, not free to do as we please, but free to live the life God intended us to live. To live the life that embodies his character, that embodies his love, that embodies his holiness, that presents the world that he's true. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Jesus, God incarnate, as he tried to explain himself, not everybody believed. But I'm here to tell you, the greatest witness will not always be what you say. It'll be who you become in Christ. Like our kids, they'll never be what you tell them to be. They'll become what you are. So if you embody Christ's character, a change in you speaks volumes to the people around you. So Jesus is like, I want you to have liberty. I want you to have freedom. And I want to show you how to do that. Now, if you look in John 14, 6, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture for some of you, maybe new to you. But look at John 14 and verse number 6. John 14, 6. I'm going to bounce around quite a bit today. But if you're taking notes, just my sermons are up on the web. You can get them later. John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus wants us to have freedom. But he's telling you that he is the way to freedom. He is the way. Now, society will tell you there's all kinds of different ways to live. And as long as you're not hurting anybody else, But if that were true, why ain't everybody happy? Because everybody's doing their own thing. And Why do they still cut themselves? Why do they still commit suicide? Why do we still have all this unrest and unhappiness if doing our own thing and doing it our way makes us happy? The world will say, well, love yourself. Really? Is that how you find happiness? Is that how you have true freedom? Is just love yourself? How's that working? How's that working for you? You know, God says we need to humble ourselves and to seek godly counsel if we want to be free. It says in James 4:10, we just covered this in the last couple messages under Nuts and Bolts Christianity. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. He'll exalt you. And brothers and sisters, if you're considering a promotion or a job change, just pray and say, God, listen, if this is your will, I'll walk through that door. And if you do that, I will tell everyone it was you that did it. That's fair to say, God, if you promote me, if you elevate me in the eyes of men, I'm going to point to you and say it was all you. That's what he says. If you'll humble yourself, he'll lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, the world's way says, okay, fine, love yourself, but that doesn't really work. And the world will also say, well, find your support and your lifting through friends. But the problem is, a lot of times our friends will not just, it will lead us away from God. That's why it says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6:14. That's why in Psalms 1 it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is actually in the law of the Lord, if you check that out in Psalm 1. Verse 6 says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You want true freedom? Jesus said he's the way. He is the way. That's exclusive, the way. We need God to guide us on how to have true freedom. That's why it says in Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. That's why it says in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God knows how. He knows the way for you to have true freedom. You know, it's not through social programs. The world tells us the path of freedom is wide and inclusive. But Jesus says, no, the gate is narrow. Do you remember that? In Matthew 7 and verse 13, he says, hey, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate that and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Well, if we'll just do good, okay, who gets to define what good is? All right, I'm just being honest now, not hateful, and I'm not, this message was in the making long before we had this election mess, okay, so please. All right, I'm not a reactionary. This has been going on for a while. But I want you to understand, who gets to define what is good? Well, God says, Jesus said he is the way and that he is the truth. That means there's no other. There's no other way to freedom than through Jesus Christ. Why is it that few find it? Well, because of the sin in the hearts of human beings. He's the way. But he's also the truth. Now, the world teaches us there's many different truths that we can believe. But there is something called absolute truth. That means it's true whether I like it or not. Do you realize there's a whole lot of things in this Bible that I really would change if it was mine to write? Huh? Wouldn't you? We're all going to go to heaven and get a unicorn and live on a rainbow and everything be pretty. Wouldn't that be your way? I'd write that. Right? But it's not my truth. People say, well, I'm living my truth. Well, what if your truth don't line up with the truth? Look, I love you. But Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. I am the truth. That means we're to line up everything according to God's word. Do you understand? Because in John 1:1, it said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In John 14, it said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus. In Isaiah 8 and verse 20, the Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if it speaks not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. You know, for years, I was trying to convince God to kind of line up his stuff with me. And I really didn't get very far. Right? Are you still trying to convince God that he ought to line up his thinking with yours? No, the Bible says we're to line up our thinking with his. See, it's the mind of God. I didn't write it. I wouldn't have written it this way. But Jesus said, you can say, well, I'm living my truth. Does God live your truth? Or do you live his? My brothers and sisters, there is absolute truth, and it's called the Word of God. He is the standard of it. So, let me ask you a question. Do you want to be free? I mean, free to live the life God intended you to live. Free to be the man or the woman that God can use for His glory. Do you want to be free? See, we think of obedience as doing what you're told when you're told with a good attitude, right? We think of that, right? It's what we teach our kids. Do you know there's another definition to the word obedience? It's the freedom to be creative within divinely appointed boundaries. That's obedience. You are free to be creative inside God's boundaries. So Jesus said, I'm the way. You want to be free? I'm the way. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You'll get to know me. I am the way. There's no other way. I am the truth. Does your truth line up with God's truth? You know, so take your Bible. Let's look. Because the world will tell you how we live our lives shouldn't affect our relationship with God. But it does. Look at 1 John. Now, I need you to go all the way to the back of the book. Just before the book of the Revelation and Jude, you find 1, 2, and 3 John. Now, I get so much more out of the Scripture when I slow down and I read it slowly. And I hope you not think I'm too tedious, but I kind of like to read it slow and put the definition of words in that I don't understand so that I'll understand what God is actually saying. So if you look at 1 John 1, 6, the world says, how we live our lives will not affect our relationship with a loving God. Well, look at verse 6. It says, if we have fellowship, that word fellowship means partnership, agreement, oneness. If we say that we have oneness with God and walk in darkness, we walk like the spiritually blind, we live like the devil, we lie and do not the truth. That's self-explanatory. You say you know God, but you live like you don't, somebody's lying. Somebody's lying to somebody. Now, God sets the standard of truth. Look at verse 7. But in contrast, that's what but means, but if we walk in the light, that means living daily in the truth of God's word, as He is in the light. Do we walk like Jesus walked in God's word? Jesus lived God's word every day. Do we live God's word? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, I love the symbol of the cross. Some people don't. That's your business. I don't care. But the cross has a beam that goes like this, and the cross has a beam that goes like that. And it's at the cross of Calvary we receive peace with God and the peace of God. So when I'm right with God and right with y'all, I'm living free. Because I'm right. I'm right with you. I'm right with Him. I can't be right with Kim and wrong with you. You can't be wrong and crossways with your spouse and be right with God. You can't be crossways and wrong with your parents and be right with God. Do you understand that? Now, I understand that relationships are messy, that people are messy. But to the best of your ability, you need to be right with God and you need to be right with the folks around you. So God sets His standard of truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That cleanses us from, releases us from the power and penalty. See, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God released you from the penalty of sin. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Do you understand? He released us from the penalty of sin. This is as close to hell as you'll ever get. But for lost folks, this is as close to heaven as it ever gets. So you understand, God not only wants to release you from the penalty of sin like He did at Calvary, He wants to release you from the power of sin by walking in His word. Look at this. Verse number 7 says again, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's past, present, and future sin. Now, lie number 2 that the world will say is, well, there is no right or wrong. Well, verse 8 would say that's not true. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're lying. Somebody's lying. For you to say that you're not a sinner, somebody's lying. Either it's you or God. You want to take bets on that? Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, that's God, a liar. And the truth is not in us. So what is God's standard of truth? Look at verse 9. If we, that's us, confess, that means agree with God. Do you agree with God that you're a sinner? See, the day you trusted Christ as your Savior, you took the witness stand against your own soul and testified that you agree with God, that God's right, the judge is right, I'm a sinner. If we confess our sin, look at that now, he is faithful. That means consistent. Every time we do it, he is faithful and just. It's right for him to do so because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from past, present, and future sin. Isn't that cool? Look at this. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll free us from the power and penalty of our sin. Another lie people say is, well, my Christian life is personal and it shouldn't have an effect on how I live. You're in 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 2. I think God would take issue with that. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him. That means if I say I know Jesus and I'm a Christian, I know Jesus. And keepeth not his commandments. I don't do what God says to do. Right? I do the don'ts and I don't do the do's. And keepeth not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. See, when this was written, the Greek theater, people would put on masks and they were called hypocrites. They were playing a part for the benefit of the crowd. They were telling a story. That's what a hypocrite is. They were actors. Do you realize that Captain James T. Kirk is not the actual actor's name? Did you know that? Right? Jean-Luc Picard is not actually his name. It's called his name's Patrick Stewart. He's not actually a captain on a spaceship that flies through the thing. It's not real. I love it, but it's not real. It's a act. And when you say, oh, I'm a Christian, don't preach to me, buddy. I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus, but I go out and live like the world. I line up my values and thinking with the world. Somebody's lying. Somebody's playing a part for the benefit of those who are watching. God says, yeah, the way you live matters. Now, you can't lose your salvation. Praise God. You couldn't be good enough to get it. What makes you think you're good enough to keep it? The Bible says that in John 6 that there's no reason you can give God that God would ever throw you away. He said, all that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means there's no reason you can give God. Once you're saved, God ain't going to throw you away. Isn't that good? We throw away people too much in this world. We do. We throw folk away. We shouldn't. And you say, well, I don't know. I agree with that. Well, Jesus said, all that come to me are in my Father's hand. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Do you realize that includes you? That no man, that includes you? You're not tough enough to go to heaven and pry open God's fingers and pull yourself out of Jesus? Aren't you glad? Boy, no, I guess I'm the only one excited. Me and somebody else, the only one's excited. We can't lose our salvation. Right? But he says, you say you're a Christian. Look, there's a lot of foolishness going on out there on the internet. If you're in government service, I'd probably get off social media if I were you. Because they may not use it against you right now, but when you mess up, and you will mess up, they will. Yo, I love you, just get off it. Or go on there as Bugs Bunny and just watch and stalk your nieces and nephews and don't ever post. Okay? But there's a lot of foolishness. I'm a Jesus believer. Then why do your posts look like the devil? Who are you living with? Who are you walking with? Whose standards are you living by? You get me, Ryan. This is all free. I love you. That's not really the sermon. The sermon's on how to be free. How to be free. His Jesus is the way to be free, and he's the truth that sets us free. Do you understand? No, and to say that my Christian life is separate from who I am and how I live is a lie. It also says that Jesus is the standard of truth. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, hereby we do know that we know him. This is how you can tell somebody knows Jesus. Look at that. If we keep his commandments. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. God is perfecting or maturing his love through you. God loves you, loves people through you. Hereby know we that we are in him. This is how you can tell you're a real Christian. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We ought to be walking in God's word. Real Christians walk in God's word just like Jesus did. Real Christians will not condone the slaughter of the unborn. Look, I'm sorry. I know it's not socially popular, but I need you to understand. In the Bible, it says that God knew their name and had a purpose for them before they were conceived. That's in Jeremiah, and that's in 1 Samuel. That's also in Deuteronomy. It's not just one thing, all right? Real Christians need to stand up for those who can't speak for themselves. Real Christians should not lie, cheat, or steal. Real Christians should not condone that action in other people either, even if it benefits me if they do it. Right is still right. Jesus said, I am the truth. Well, I'm living my truth. Is that the truth God lives, or is that the truth you just made truth? Does it line up with God's word? Look, I love you. But you know, we're supposed to be, he says, if we say we believe we know him, but don't and live like we don't, then somebody's lying. You are putting yourself under a yoke of bondage that God never intended you to be in, and he wants you to live free. Real Christians will not choose their culture or their friends over God's truth. Do you understand? Jesus said, no man. And he said, anybody that comes to me, if you're taking no, it's Luke 14. This goes for race too. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brothers, and sisters, and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That means my love and devotion for Jesus Christ needs, everything else needs to pale in comparison to. My devotion to God should be supreme. It should trump my race. It should trump my culture. It should trump my friendships. It should take precedent over every other relationship in my life. Because he's the one who died for me. He is the way. He is the truth. Another lie is Jesus was a great man, but that's it. No. There's not another way to heaven. There's just Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 2, if you're there in verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Do you realize Christ is not his last name? It's his divine title. He is the Messiah who came to die for our sins. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. Anybody who denies Jesus as anything but God incarnate is a liar and denieth the truth. He is Antichrist. Jesus said the standard of truth is exclusive. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In the military, you all study tactics, and you study the tactics of our enemies, and you know how they operate. Well, how does your enemy Satan operate? He lies. And he's so good at it. We looked at this in the book of Job during Sunday school. He is so good, he'll use true statements to lead you to believe something that's not true. He's good at this. What else does he do besides lie? He creates counterfeits. We saw this in the book of the Revelation, where he'll have a counterfeit Christ and a counterfeit Holy Spirit and a counterfeit church. He'll have a counterfeit truth. This is what the devil does. And he knows you're not foolish enough to fall for one. He's going to make multiples. So when Jesus said, I am the way, there is no other. I am the truth. There's nothing. Everything else needs to be compared to what I tell you. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is that hate speech? Now you need to decide, because I got a feeling I'm going to be starting a prison ministry from the inside. I'm being honest with you. You can't say that on a train in London without the police citing you. There's a video out there that says America's not the greatest country in the world because of freedom. All these other countries have freedom. Go to Britain and witness to somebody. You'll find yourself in cuffs. They don't got freedom of speech. What idiot taught this generation that there's freedom of speech anywhere else? Try that downtown Baghdad. Try that downtown Paris. You don't have freedom of speech in those countries. So be careful. The devil lies. Jesus is the truth. So how much do you got to hate somebody not to tell them about Jesus? Because all those who die without Jesus go where? Do they get a break from that? No. Well, for a split second, they get stood in front of the great white throne, then cast into the lake of fire. How much you got to hate somebody to let them believe there's another way to heaven. You just don't have to say nothing. You just got to stand back and do nothing. Look, there is no other way. You want to be free? Do you want to be free? The world says, well, religion is the cause of all evil in the world. No, that's not true. Look at 1 John 4 and verse 19. We love him, that's Jesus, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he have seen, how can he love God whom he have not seen? It's human sin in the heart of human beings that has caused all the evil in this world. That's what's causing all the evil in this world. It's sin. Think back to where you were born. You think, well, I can't remember that day. You probably was designed that way because I don't think it would be all that pleasurable to remember that. But you remember, I was born in Spring Valley, Illinois. Did you know I didn't get to choose where I was born? Did you get to put your order in? Did you like tap on the intestine or the liver with Morse code? I want to be born in Beverly Hills. Did you do that? Did you pass notes to mom while she was dreaming? Beverly Hills, I want to live in Beverly Hills. No, your parents chose for you. How come the world is in such a mess with sin? Our parents, Adam and Eve, chose for us. It's human sin that's the problem. Do you realize you win somebody to the Lord, you change their, not just their eternal destiny, you change their life immediately. You change their values, you change the way they think, you change the way they see all kinds of things. See, God said, I want you to be free. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So the formula of freedom is found again in John 8. Let's look at it. How do I be free? If Jesus is the only way, then I want to be free. Look at John 8. John 8, verse 31. Here's the spiritual algebra. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So let's break this down. First, you got to believe on Jesus. To those Jews who believed on him. Do you notice it didn't say in him? I used to believe in the Easter Bunny. I used to believe in Santa Claus. I used to believe in all kinds of things. There's a great spot there for a joke, but I'll pass. I used to believe in all kinds of things. But the reason they use the word on is because it means a dependence. Do you realize you never say, hey, I'm getting in the plane or I'm getting in the metro. No, I'm getting on the plane. I'm getting on the metro. Why? Because you're not the one driving. All you get to do is get in, sit down, and hang on. Your future for that next few hours is in the tube of aluminum and the guy behind the stick. You're putting your dependence on somebody else's actions. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are believing on the actions of Jesus Christ to pay for your sins. It's a dependence. It's not just a fairy tale, hope so, no so, maybe so kind of belief. It's no, I got nothing else. It's Jesus and nothing else. So he said, number one, you want to have a form of freedom. Number one, you need to be saved. You need to believe on Jesus. Listen to me. Social justice isn't going to get people to heaven. And who made you the judge of what is just? I know that's not popular, but who made you the judge of what is just? Does the media get to judge what is just? Or does the ultimate judge in heaven get to judge what is just? Come on, guys. Either we're Christians or we're wasting our time. Neither we're really believers in Jesus Christ and our faith and trust is what he said, or we might as well pull up the carpet, get a band and sell liquor and turn this into a saloon and make money. Because we're wasting our lives if this isn't real. So who are you lining up with? Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Does your truth line up with God's truth? He's not going to line up with yours unless yours is lined up with his. Don't worry about my truth. I got all I can handle trying to figure out what God says and trying to line my life up with his. Don't worry, I ain't got time to judge you. I'm not God's law enforcement official. I'm not God's deputy sheriff. I don't get into your business because I got all I can handle trying to line myself up with God. And hopefully I can help you do the same, but it's not for me to judge. It's Him. So I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. So number one, you want the formula for freedom? Believe on Jesus Christ. Number two, it says, continue if ye continue in my word. Stop right there. You can be born again on heaven bound, praise the Lord, and still be in the bondage of sin. How? Because you're not continuing in His word. He's left the decision up to you. All of God's promises in the Bible, except for a couple, are if-thens. Think of the promises you love so much. But God said, if you'll do this, then I will do this. If ye continue in my word. If you don't, man, that's on you. That's what God says. Then, He says, then said Jesus unto those Jews that believed on Him, if ye continue in my word. That means you measure everything by His word. Look at the next thing. You'll be His disciple. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciple. The word disciple means disciplined one. One who has disciplined his life according to God's truth. That's what a disciple means. That's the definition. Jesus said, if any man shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. So here comes the spiritual algebra. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, believe on Him first. Number two, continue in His word. Then you're my disciple. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what freedom is. It's walking with God, living His truth, lining my mind up with His truth. He is the way I should be following. He is the truth I should be lining my minds up with. And He is the life that should be allowed to live through me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's exclusive. That's not hate speech. That's Jesus saying, I gave you the way, I gave you the life, I gave you the truth. Now it says here that He's the life. The world will tell us that success is measured by positions achieved and possessions amassed. There was this place back in Illinois near Streeter, Illinois, called Big Boys Toys. And it was out on a farm and they had monster trucks. And you could go there and buy the big wheels and the big motors and get all the stuff and trick your little car or truck out and make it a Big Boys Toys. And it would say, Big Boys Toys, he who dies with the most toys wins. Is that how you feel? Remember the story where God said to the rich man who amassed so much stuff in Luke chapter 12 that he had to build bigger barns, but that night after he got the barns full, he died, and God called him a fool. Look at Luke chapter 12 where that story's at. Jesus is not just the way and the truth, He's the life. Look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 21. You know, you're going to be in heaven a whole lot longer than you're going to be on this planet. Just saying. Right? Eternity's a whole lot longer than your 70 years. Luke 12, 21, so is he. So is he what? So is he a fool, that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, you can't take it when you go, but you can definitely invest in what is going to heaven, and that's soul. You know, God will take care of you. Look at verse 22. And He said unto His disciples, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. Why? Because our lives are more than stuff. Look at verse 23. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. We're to love God rather than things. Verse 28 through 31. If God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will He clothe you? Verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're not to love the world, neither the things of the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the desire to be, have, and get. But Jesus said in verse 31 that if you'll seek the kingdom of God, all that stuff's going to get added to you. He knows you need it. The world tells us that there's only one life, so live it up. But for Christians, this is not the only life you get. Death is a graduation from this to eternal to the life, you know, with God. Because you have eternal life right now, so please don't get all doctrinally on me, okay? But you graduate to your life with God face to face. The person you've known heart to heart, you will now see face to face. Isn't that awesome? And Jesus said, listen, I am the way to be free. I am the truth. You should line your life, but I'm the life that needs to live through you. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:35, for whosoever findeth me findeth life. This isn't the only life. Now God said he'll make this life better. Luke 18, verse 29 says, verily I say unto you, there's no man that have left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. There's nothing you've given up for Jesus that is that God won't give back. It says in verse 30, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. This isn't the only life you have. And don't, now, how you live here is going to determine what it's going to, you know, there's going to be some of that in heaven, you know. But the truth is, our judgment was passed at Calvary. And on the day we took the witness stand and were saved, the accounting of our life will be at the judgment seat of Christ. But the Bible says that those that don't know Jesus are lost and they're condemned already. And their sentence will be carried out as their life is seen and accounted for at the great white throne. So let me ask you a question. Do you understand the spiritual algebra of, number one, believe on Christ, continue in his word, be his disciple, know the truth, and he'll make you free. Free to serve him, free to love him, free to let him live through you. Are you free? Are you free today? Freedom is not free. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost Jesus his life and his blood. And besides the U.S. military, only Jesus has offered to die for your freedom. Do you understand that? And for our freedom to be today, have you believed on Jesus? Do you remember where you were when you got saved? Do you remember how you got saved? Do you remember that? Then you know Christ. Then walk in his word. Let his truth be your truth. And his truth will make you free. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We are now free to voluntarily serve him, to walk with him, to commune with him, to let him live through us. If you died today and you're not sure you'd wake up in heaven, you can settle it today. Mrs. Mick's going to play and sing, I'm going to pray for you. And you, if you'll have the courage to step out and come to this front pew, I'll take the Bible and let you see from God's own word how to know for sure you're going to heaven. But Christians, are you living his truth? Is his truth your truth? Are you living his word? Are you walking in it daily? If we say we're Christians, but we don't live his word, somebody's lying. Our Father and our God, we love you, and we ask in the next few moments you'd make decisions. You would lead us to a greater walk with thee. Father, if there's someone here that's lost or watching online, I pray, God, they'll step forward and trust Christ as their Savior. And Father, for us, your children, God, you would put us on the path, Father, when you saved us. But Father, let us walk in your word. Open our minds and our understanding to it. Show us how to write it upon our hearts and to live it, that your life would live through us. And your glory would radiate to those that have no concept of you and that they would be saved too. Speak to every heart and every soul. Whatever the need is today, resolve it. Give them comfort. Bless as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. As Ms. Mix plays and sings, the altar is open. You want somebody to pray with you? I'm here. Let's pray. God answers.
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one. that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, where you are.
Is God's truth your truth?
I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Jesus is the only way.
Every hour.
God's truth is the only truth. Everything else needs to be measured to it.
My one defense,
he is the life that is to live through us, as Galatians 2:20 tells us.
Oh God,
and if we'll do that, we shall be free. Our Father and our God, we love you, and we do live in the greatest country on earth. Father, the only one better will be when Jesus comes and rules and reigns, and we look forward to that day. And Father, as we await the return of Jesus, let us be faithful. Let us be founded upon your word. Let us be living it and embodying your character. Let others see Jesus through us, not just through our lips, but through our choice and our values and our life. And God, may they see the love of Christ and the holiness of Christ. May they see your compassion and empathy. May they see your truth. And Father, may your life radiate to others who do not know you. May our life be just a testimony. God, may you receive all glory and power. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. If you